My name is Victor Kubik. Welcome to another edition of Inside United. Thank you for joining us today. Today, our guest is Michelle Waterhouse. She's the wife of one of our elders, but she's also the human resource director at Hopkins Printing. Hopkins Printing has been involved in the printing of much of the church's literature over the years. Hello, Michelle.
Hello. Good morning.
Nice to have you here. And the reason that she's here is that she's one of several business leaders who have come here to participate in an ABC career education model. They come here every year, and they have for the past 3 years, and they make a presentation to our ABC class about vocation, about preparing for, you know, future jobs, and they give some of their professional experience. So, Michelle, we're just very happy to have you here. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your coming here and your impressions of the education module.
Today, I was asked to come down and help them understand a personality profile test that they took yesterday. They took a test called the 16 Personalities, and they asked me to come and kind of digest this 160-page report that they all received about their personality. And we talk about personalities here because your personality is just one tiny part of who you are that also can impact a lot of things in your life. So I broke down that test for them, but I focused on careers because this is mainly a career module. We want the ABC kids to come here to learn, to study the Bible all year long, but to also realize that when this is over, their goal should be to leave and get a career, secure a career that helps them financially support themselves, their families, their interests, to honor God's purpose for them. So we spent a lot of time talking to them about how to think about and secure an excellent career.
Well, one thing that I heard about the personality test that was especially applied in this particular session was to try to understand what personality you have to determine maybe what type of career that you may want to consider or one that you may find more challenging that you might want, but it may not be part of your personality.
We don't get exactly into aptitudes. This is just a personality test that maybe you're an introvert or an extrovert. But maybe if you're in sales and you're an introvert, that's okay. You can still function that way as a salesperson. But at the end of the day, the way you recharge yourself is you might want to spend time alone. You might prefer to read a book and not talk at night versus an extrovert who might be in sales and talk all day long and come home and want to talk all at night too. We talked also about how you learn to work together on different personalities, how you live together. Right now, they all have roommates. Many of them have never had this many roommates in their lives. So they might be coordinated with someone who are rooming with someone who is the exact opposite of them. So we just talk about how to work through some of those issues.
And wait till they start talking about finding a mate, marriage.
Yes. There's a big section in the personality profile about romantic relationships. And when you're in your 20s, that's often an interesting time. And when you're looking for a mate and there's always a discussion, is do you want to marry someone who is exactly like you or the opposite of you? And so those are all things that we work out.
Michelle, could you please share with us one tip that you gave to the ABC class that would be helpful to our audience?
I talked to them about finding a career takes work. And I talked to them about having a professional resume. I talked to them about interviewing skills in this time of COVID. I talked to them about many interviews right now are on Zoom, so or on Google Meets or one of the platforms where you're having a video interview. So you need to practice those skills. You need to practice looking at the camera. You need to analyze what is behind you in your visual because this is your opportunity to introduce yourself to an employer. And then I also talked to them about when you're applying for jobs, you need to have attention to detail. So when they have a posting, you need to follow the instructions exactly, because many companies use a job posting as a way to weed out who they don't want to work for them. For example, a couple years ago, we ran a posting for a receptionist position. And you may think, anybody can be a receptionist. Well, we wanted a receptionist that had Excel skills. So we asked our receptionist to include a cover letter and to document their Excel skills. We had 225 applicants. 27 of them provided a cover letter that talked about Excel. The other 198, I didn't even open. We just hit delete. Because if they couldn't follow instructions on a job posting, is that the kind of person that we want to work at Hopkins? They might have been fantastic people there. So following instructions and reading those job postings and giving exactly what it asked for will get you off on the right start.
What I found very, very fascinating about you, and maybe just tell us a little bit more about Hopkins Printing just briefly, and also about your role, maybe how many employees you have, just to give us, what about Hopkins Printing?
Well, Hopkins Printing is a commercial printing company. We're located in Columbus, Ohio, just up the road from Cincinnati. We have 103 employees, and we put ink on paper. So we print books and magazines and posters. We have truck drivers. We have accountants. We have folding machine operators. We have pressmen. We have people that just pack boxes. We have web designers. A wide variety of jobs and careers in the graphic arts industry.
Well, we appreciate the work that you do. People always comment about the award-winning work that Hopkins Printing does. One thing that was very interesting today was how different companies have gone through the COVID crisis. You know, we had presentations, by the others who talked about it. I found yours to be particularly interesting from the standpoint of how you cared for your employees. You know, how at one point, you're told to shut down and then, you have to function. Tell us how COVID impacted your work.
Like many companies, COVID really impacted us this year in terms of on March 22nd, the governor said that all companies were closed down. So that was a Sunday. We contacted all 103 people, and we had 2 days to get all the work out for our customers that we could. And then we had to bring everybody in to shut down all the machines. And our machines are really large. Like the presses might be the size of a semi-truck, the back of a semi-truck. So you have to take out all the chemicals, all the oil, all the inks. You have to turn off all the air, have to get it all out of the hoses. Because if you're going to shut those machines down for 2 weeks, it could have a devastating impact on them starting back up. So we all hands were on deck on that Monday morning, and we got a call from one of our larger customers in the banking world. They called and said, no, you can't shut down. We've been deemed essential to the businesses, and so we are deeming you essential. And we said, what? Can you do that? And they said, yes, here's a letter. Have all of your employees take this letter and put it in their cars in case they're stopped by the police. I mean, it was that frantic at the time, but it was very a stressful time. And will I be allowed to drive to work? My company is now deemed essential. So we had some employees who said, man, I was hoping for 2 weeks off. It ended up being 6 weeks that Ohio was closed to manufacturing and to businesses. And so while we had work for that financial customer, many of our other customers were closed. We do a lot of signage for retail stores. So if those stores are closed, they don't need signs in their windows or in their stores or on price tags. So our business was down about 50% for several months during the shutdown. So we didn't have enough work for all of our employees, even though we were deemed essential. So we wanted to offer a layoff or a furlough to our employees, but I didn't want them to lose health care in the middle of a pandemic. So I worked with our health insurance company that I could keep their health insurance for an indefinite period of time for while the time they were on furlough. And that took me a few weeks. And once we got that, we had a voluntary furlough. People could say, yes, I'll take a furlough. It meant you have to go on and apply for unemployment. And 28 people took that. And they also ended up getting the $600 a week plus their unemployment pay. So it was really good for them. They kept their health insurance. And then that left enough work for the other 75-ish of us to actually do the work that our customers were bringing in for us. And it was still kind of slow, but it was much better than having to do a layoff. Well, now we're in October and our workload is taking off. We're busy again. I did payroll yesterday, and every single employee in the plant had overtime last week. We've made it.
That's really a great story. And that's what fascinated me today, is that you've turned something that was a difficult situation into something that actually reshaped your company or cleaned things up and got things going again. Michelle, you wanted to talk a little bit about how COVID impacted the church in Columbus and how Hopkins and church and everything. You volunteered that. I'd like to hear about it.
when the governor closed down and when COVID was spreading, our governor said, I'm never going to tell you not to attend church. And I'm not going to tell you what you can do. I coordinated the Midwest Teen Prom for the young kids in Ohio. People were registered to come to the prom from 12 states this year. And 8 days before the prom, we had to make the decision that this is not a good decision in a pandemic to have 100 kids coming from 12 different states, eating together, dancing together, being in close proximity. We had to make that difficult decision to cancel the prom. And at that point, I thought, we're only going to be closed down for 2 weeks. We're going to be over this. Well, then shortly thereafter that, we canceled services. That was really difficult. We thought it would just be a couple weeks, but no, it changed the lives of many people. We would log into Cincinnati. We went from going to church one time on the Sabbath to, during the pandemic, our minister, Mr. Len Martin, he would have scripture readings on Friday evenings. 8 o'clock, we would tune in for the scripture readings. He did a webcast from his home. People would submit scriptures that they found encouraging. So we would tune in and listen to those. It was only about 15 minutes.
So how did that work? He just read them?
He read them, and people would send comments on how this scripture gave them encouragement during a really difficult time. Mm-hmm. Then the next morning, he would have a Bible study at noon. Be about an hour, hour and a half. My husband would project his computer up to the TV. We would sit around the TV. My son-in-law and daughter would come over. We would watch the Bible study. We'd have lunch in between, and then we would tune into Cincinnati at 2:30. We had three church services during COVID weeks for about several months that way.
Well, that's what I heard around the country. There was a lot of binge listening, you know, to different churches that were webcasting, and Cincinnati got a lot of traction.
Oh, we all turned into Cincinnati, and it was good because at the beginning, like, we were looking to Cincinnati for decisions or help or to see what other churches were doing. So it was good to hear those announcements. Something else that happened is that my son and daughter-in-law, they live in Cleveland, and she's in college getting her doctorate of physical therapy degree, and he's in college, and they were both remote, and they had a 450 square foot apartment. So during COVID, they said, can we come to your house? Because you have rooms that we could go to where she could take her class and I can take my class and we can both be talking at the same time. Sure. So they spent 3 weeks at our house, 3 weeks at her family's house, back and forth. But one time when they were here in Columbus, Alan was song leading for the Cincinnati church, and they did it via Zoom. So he was song leading. He went into the office, and we tuned into the Cleveland church that week. It was something new. It was at 12:30. So we watched the Cleveland church, and when it was over, we were about to close the computer, but people started talking. And so we opened the computer back up, and they were all their faces were on the Zoom. And they were all talking, how is your aunt's shingles? How did you do on that test this week? They all knew about each other. And we watched for a while. Alan was still in the office. And we went in, and they were both at the computer talking and engaging. That was how their small church bonded. I thought it was beautiful because they were able to keep in touch every week after services using technology. And I feel like they may have got closer because those individual conversations you might have at church one week, they were all having together and learning about each other's lives and staying in touch and informed. It was great.
It was great. Yeah, I found too that everybody on Zoom is equal, you know, when you're on the screen and you see people that you don't talk to normally and they're there, and it just forced you to kind of get acquainted more with people that you wouldn't, because when you walk into services, you tend to kind of drift to people that you know and to talk to them. But this made me, in my particular case, when we had after church meetings similar to that, to really get acquainted and hear some people out. We had kind of a discussion about the sermon afterwards, and I found it very interesting to hear what people had on their minds.
It made me realize that, you know, Cincinnati was doing something, Columbus was doing something, Cleveland was doing something different. It probably was happening all over the United States, all over the world, where they were finding ways to get together on the Sabbath and maybe during the week that COVID kind of forced us into, but we probably have lasting benefits from.
And I know that, you know, in my work here, even at the home office, there's been less time traveling to and from the home office, you know, as far as work is concerned. And also, I have not been on a trip on a plane since February. I still really, really yearn to go back to some of the places and see some of the people that I had seen before. My wife and I begin to miss people that we have regularly visited and we need to visit, especially in some parts of Africa. So we're looking to that again, but it did give us a chance to think. And I think in my wife and I, my case, we did a lot more talking together.
Yes. We traveled on the plane for the feast, and my parents went. My parents were not comfortable going on a plane for the feast, but we had traveled during this, my husband and I, Roy, and we, I've never felt safer on an airplane. When you walk in, they hand you a wet wipe. I brought several myself. I've never wiped down the windowsill, you know, that you open and close the window. I wiped that down. I wiped the tray table. I wiped the seatbelt. I brought my own water. I turned the air on, so it's blowing right down on us. So thankfully, we were able to travel for the feast this year. And the feast, we were in Utah, 1,000 people in Utah. And it was interesting this year, we had assigned seats. So if you think of a feast site normally where you go where they have 1,000 people, you got there, you have to find a seat. You have to find a seat with your family. No, we had assigned seats. Our names were on them. We had 6 feet around us the whole way. It was a nice big arena. We made COVID work with the feast, and I'm so thankful because that was really hard to miss the spring holidays. And Passover, I enjoyed Passover. It was a different experience. And one thing that was unique is I got to wash my husband's feet. You know, in our traditional Passover, the women go one place, the men go another. So I got to wash my husband's feet and my children got to wash their spouse's feet. So that made it really special.
Michelle, it's just been great having you here. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us today on Inside United. Please be sure to tell your friends about our podcast. You can easily find us on the homepage of ucg.org, and you simply go to the menu bar and click or tap on the podcast button. You can also find us using your favorite podcasting app on iOS or Android. I'm an Android person, so I use Pocket Casts, and I have the podcast come to me every week. And we're on Spotify. You can find us on podcasts on Spotify, and you can write to us directly here to the podcast at podcast@ucg.org. podcast@ucg.org. So thank you for joining us. Come and join us again for another edition of Inside United.
This is a production of the United Church of God. For more, visit ucg.org.